Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Thank you, Dan. I'm based in the Netherlands. I live close to Amsterdam. My main focus is hedge funds. So I do a couple of things with hedge funds. I'm investing my own money in hedge funds. That's one. I'm invested at the moment in about 16 hedge funds. I can explain to you later what a hedge fund is and what type of hedge funds my focus is on.
Awesome.
I'm distributing hedge funds as I'm a broker. I've raised more than $1 billion the last 13 years, mostly from institutional investors. But also the last year, I'm very visible via the social. And I recently launched a fund of funds. And the fund of funds personally invested in directly.
Awesome. So do you mind sharing, I guess, like how did you get into hedge funds in the first place? Can you hear me? I think there might be an issue with the connect. Can you hear me?
First, I was an energy trader. Job was at a...
I think there's some sort of... Yeah, I think there's some sort of issue.
Is it okay? Or shall I only...
Well, there's some sort of issue with the connection.
One moment. Let me close the Wi-Fi, and that's probably the reason. Why? Better now?
Yeah, I think so. Can you hear me, Cooley?
Okay, good. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I'm just curious, like how you got into hedge funds in the first place.
Yes, I was trading a Dutch utility. I was trading power, and I was optimizing electricity sites. They had a power generation, they had a coal generation site, a gas generation site, and a nuclear generation site. And the speculative trading book was so successful that I wanted to start my own business. And then I came in contact with an American guy, and he said, let's talk to a hedge fund in Chicago. The name of the hedge fund was Ritchie Capital Management. So I didn't know anything about hedge funds. So I took the plane to Chicago, was explaining the business opportunity. And then they said, yeah, that's very interesting. Let's start a joint venture. So I was ready to go, set up the joint venture, hired an office, hired the employees. And then they had some big losses in August 05 because there were short gas into delivery during the Katrina hurricane. And then they canceled the deal. But then I thought by myself, hey, that's very interesting to run a hedge fund because hedge fund manager charges a management fee of about 2% and a performance fee of about 20%. And for example, if they gave you 100 million, you get 2%, 2 million management fee. You don't have to invest anything yourself and you get 20% of the profit. That's good to be true. Because they canceled the deal. And then I came in contact with somebody who will provide me a database. And finally, I started the business in October 06, 70 million with 7 institutional investors. And Elliott was one of them. Elliott is one of the most reputable and successful multi-strategy funds. And they also gave me a chunk of money. And then I started with that money in October 2006, running an energy strategy, trading power, coal, gas, oil, and emissions. I did it for 4 to 5 years, very stressful period. I raised up to $150 million. That's what I did till 2010.
Awesome. So I guess, like, what are you working on right now? And what does a typical day look like for you?
I'm very, very structured. I mostly work between 7 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the evening. And my day is family, sport. But my main focus is selecting hedge funds. There are 20,000 hedge funds and there are only 20 to 30 good enough for me. What's a good hedge fund? I need to see managers who are doing that for 20, 30 years. I need to see a certain size. For example, most of my managers manage up to more than $500 million, then you have less business risk. I want to see a fund structure so that they really have audits, so that they can judge their track record. I want to see them making more than 10% per annum, also in downgoing equity markets, for example, like we've seen last year. And I want to see 10% per annum the last couple of years. I want to see funds who can generate a positive return on every market. And they need to be liquid. All my hedge funds have maximum quarterly liquidity. And when you look at these criteria, then for me, only 20 to 30 are good enough. Like I said, I'm investing in about 16 funds. I will add some new funds. That's my main focus. And the other focus is sales. I travel all around the world. I have 6,700 investors. Every day I do a deal with a new investor. I do business in Hong Kong, Tokyo, Singapore, in the US, in Europe, mostly UK, Switzerland, because most of hedge fund investors are there. And since the last 12 months, because I'm visible via the social, I'm doing business with entrepreneurs as well, because these entrepreneurs don't have any alternative, because real estate doesn't work at the moment globally because of higher interest, higher building costs. You see regulation in different countries. Then they come to me and nobody else do what I'm doing. Nobody else doing it the same way. And nobody else can offer these hedge funds, which I am offering. That's the reason why it works very well.
Awesome. So
I launched the fund of funds. In August, that's an extra possibility for my investors to invest in. Then they get a diversified portfolio. The name is Swan Mellis Fund. They get, at the moment there are 9 funds in it. It's diversified. Can invest from 100,000K. All these managers have the criteria of which I believe they're important.
For sure. So what would you say is like the biggest challenge that you face in your business right now?
Actually, there's no challenge. Everything is going great. I mean, I'm able to find good funds. Marketing is going very well. The performance is going well. The only challenge is time. That's right. A challenge because it's time consuming. I mean, I do the sales and when they want to invest, I provide the fund administrator manager with all the details. They do the KYC onboarding. But the biggest concern is time.
For sure. So when you're investing in different entrepreneurs or different industries, like are there certain sectors that you're working more with? Obviously, you mentioned real estate is not one that you're particularly in now, but what other sectors or what sectors are you working with and which ones are you not targeting?
Okay. Hedge funds only invest in something that's liquid, that's easy to price. Because hedge funds don't invest in companies. They don't invest in real estate because that's not liquid. Hedge funds mostly trade shares, bonds, commodities. Some also invest in a little bit less liquid products like life settlements. Some invest in blockchain, which is not liquid because that's mostly long term, but also what's crypto is more liquid. They invest in crypto. It's only liquid instruments which are easy to price and easy to trade. I don't have a preference about these markets. I mean, as long as they perform and they match the criteria which are important for me, I'm fine. But most of the hedge funds trade the more liquid markets like Europe, a little bit Asia, often the US. Most of the hedge fund managers in the world are based in the US and in Europe. I'm not a big fan of investing in niche markets because when you invest in niche markets, liquidity can be an issue.
Right.
And of course, there are not many good managers in niche markets. Reputation is most important.
Right. So when you're investing in these markets, like, you know, I guess I'm curious, right? Like, do you, because you mentioned blockchain, is that something that you're investing in now? Or, you know, Bitcoin or crypto, like, is that something that you do work with?
Yes. I invested about 10% of my net worth in early stage blockchain, but that's not liquid. That's not an hedge fund structure. That's a private equity structure. Because I'm investing in the fund of fund structure. The fund of fund is investing in 10 to 15 VC managers, which are the best VC managers, because in the space for 5 to 10 years, they often manage billions. They have access to the best early stage blockchain projects. They buy it at a steep discount. They only invest in certain projects when they believe the project can go times 100. Thus, every fund I'm investing in is a vehicle of 5 to 7 years. They expect the first payout in 3 to 5 years. Every portfolio contains about 400 to 700 investments. And there are certain investments who can go times 1,000 or 2,000. When there's a certain project, for example, 1% of the fund, and it goes times 1,000, then it's already a great, great success. And on top of that, they're not much losing positions. Thus, I'm invested in about 10% of my personal wealth. I expect that these fund structures will go times 10, times 30 in the coming years. Because I expect that that will give my net worth a big boost. So I've also raised a lot of money for that strategy. I've raised 30 million from 50 Dutch, mostly Dutch entrepreneurs, because you don't see a lot of institutional investors in that space yet. There are also certain crypto funds, but their issue is often the operations, like with FTX. Because if you invest in these kind of strategies, I'm also at the moment reviewing one, then you should really take into account how reputable is the team. Does the team be part of a more reputable organization? And I will never invest in guys who just start up trading cryptocurrencies, because then you have the reputation risk, operational risk, and business risk. That's the biggest risk in these crypto blockchain markets. And of course, price. I mean, it's very volatile. I'm a big believer in having a certain exposure in crypto/blockchain.
For sure. But like when you're, for example, meeting with these different managers and you're making decisions. Like, how do you know, obviously, I guess like you mentioned experience, but how do you also like make sure that these are the people that are, you know, capable and are able to be successful?
First, I have a big network. I'm in this market for 17 years. For me, it's really easy to judge if somebody has good or bad reputation because it started already with going to LinkedIn, and then I look who are the mutual contacts, and then I start contacting mutual contacts, ask about the experience, ask him, are you a former tester? How was your experience? That has to do with a lot with my network. The best due diligence is talking to former investors with their experiences. That's the and of course. You have also other due diligence. You look at the service providers, you judge their track record, you judge the audits, you judge the fund administrator. But most important for me is the experience of former investors and current investors. And when I sell it to clients, I always first invest, almost always first invest my own money. And being an investor and being a broker is really smart from a due diligence perspective because, for example, in my life settlement fund, I've raised money for about from 50 people experiences, and you also have pension funds and more institutional investors who are looking and doing due diligence on these managers. And the more people judge the manager, review the manager, and have good experiences, the more confident I become to invest my own money and to sell it to other clients.
Right, makes sense. So, what would you say is in terms of, you know, all your time doing this, because you mentioned 17 years, like what are some of the biggest things that you've learned along the way that have helped you get to where you're at now? Like what you mentioned, where it's like, you know, things are going great. Obviously, you don't really have many challenges besides your time. But like, what have you learned that have gotten you to this point today?
It's mostly experience and mostly having put your eggs put your money where your mouth is. I mean, that's one. And secondly, what I have done, nobody else has done. I mean, I've been a single manager. I've been trading commodities, raising a lot of money. I've been broker, raised more than $1 billion from institutional investors and also high net worth. And I'm more careful with high net worth investors than with institutional investors because institutional investors are more capable to do their due diligence compared to entrepreneurs. What was the question?
Well, I guess like I was
Or
curious,
that I've
like,
learned.
yeah, some of the
Yeah.
biggest things that you've learned, obviously, to get you to where you are today.
Yeah, and it's also about continuously looking for new managers because if you don't do that, you stick with managers who maybe don't perform in this environment. And diversification. I think when you have a diversified portfolio of about 15 hedge funds, that's most optimal because if there's one hedge fund not performing well, then it's only about say 5 to 7, 8%. Because if that fund is having a big drawdown and most of the other funds are still doing quite well. Yeah. And a big lesson is liquidity. I mean, there are certain funds which have can have liquidity issue. For example, you have funds who provide bridge loans to real estate project developers. There you have the risk that the project developer doesn't pay back the loan. There you have a liquidity issue. You should also take these kind of risks into account. I mean, certain markets are more volatile than other markets. If you have a commodity trader who is having most of the exposure, for example, in oil, then it's more volatile compared to an energy manager who's trading long short energy in equities. This every strategy has different risks from a liquidity perspective, operational perspective, business perspective. If you invest in small managers, experience perspective, that's really why I only invest in managers who have a long-term track record. I believe the older somebody becomes, the better and more experienced he is, that are the most important factors.
Well, but like, what is some of the, you know, biggest advice you could give to somebody who is just starting out today and, you know, wants to aspire to be kind of to where you're at now?
It starts with having a good idea, whatever you do, because if you have a good idea, and on top of that, you're a good salesman, because a lot of people have a good idea, but if they're not a good salesman, nobody will listen to them. But you need to have a combination of a good idea and a good sales pitch. And you need to know who can be interested in it. That you need to, I mean, people who are interested in investing are very busy. That you need to get their attention. That's by yourself, by an idea, and by being efficient. keep things simple. Don't make it too difficult, because if you make things too difficult and provide too much details, nobody else will listen to you. But if you keep it simple and people like you and people trust you, then you have more chance that somebody else will invest in you.
For sure. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for your business?
I started this year with the socials, on especially on Insta. And like I said, I'm raising money every day from an entrepreneur. That will expand next year. I've raised 55 million additional money by the socials. I don't really have goals, but you could say a goal about raising next year should be more than double. Should be double the size. Because I started 1 year ago. If I raise 100 million next year additional from entrepreneurs, high net worth, on top of raising money from institutional investors like pension funds, family office, fund of funds, and wealth managers, then I'm happy. Another goal is that my fund of fund will perform well, that it will make at least 10 to 15% per annum. If that will happen, then we also raise some good money there. And of course, it's important that my personal investments do well. And I have great hope that my 10% early stage blockchain position will have a very good year. So if that market will be as bullish as it has been the last 3 months, then you will also see good revenues there for my own portfolio, but also for my 50 clients who invest in early stage blockchain. So yeah, I'm quite optimistic about next year.
For sure, and that's exciting. And we're rooting for you to a very successful 2024. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, what's the best way for somebody to get in contact with you? Maybe like your website or social media, just best ways to reach out.
The best way is send me an email. My email is melis, M-E-L-I-S, at mginvestment.com. That's melis at mginvestment.com. You could follow me on Instagram. My name is Marcel Melis on Instagram. Because if you send me a DM, I will also respond. You can go to my website. My website is mginvestment.com, mginvestment.com. It's the best way to do it via these three ways.
Awesome. Well, Marcel,
and I would like to add as well, hedge funds are only available for professional investors, and a professional investors need to have about the last 2 years about an annual income of $200,000, or they need to have about 1 million net worth, because otherwise my hedge fund managers will not see you as a professional investor, and the investments will start from $100,000.
Well, Marcel, thanks again for your time. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Dan, thank you very much. Have a great end of the season.
Thanks. You too. Happy New Year.
Bye-bye. All right, bye.